This is an interview with Mary Ann McAdam on the 23rd of July, 1988. I'm Laura Smale, doing the interview for the University of Wisconsin-Madison Archives Oral History Project. We're talking in a room in the Preventive Medicine Building, the old Wharf Building, and this is specifically an interview about your experience, Mary Ann, with the dance department. So I would just like to ask you to begin with how you said you came here in 1976. Did you come with the notion of entering the university?
I came with a teaching assistant in place. So I had just finished my bachelor's degree a year before, had been out a year, and got the teaching assistantship. Yes, I had got my bachelor's degree in New York State at Brockport State, mm-hmm. and had come here to do my master's degree in dance uh-huh. at this university.
Now, and you came here because your husband was...
No, I came here because I had a teaching assistantship. And
well,
he had a bachelor's degree, so he was going to do what he could.
So how did it happen that you applied here for...
Well, there aren't many places you can get graduate degrees in dance. And I knew I didn't want to go to New York City or to Los Angeles or any of the really big cities. And so, I couldn't go to a place that is real high performance because that was not my thing. I hadn't been a ballerina all my life and whatever, and I needed a place that was much more interested in education than performance. And so I applied here in North Carolina and a couple other places, and this had the best TA ship, so I came here.
Did you know anything about the department when you applied?
No. I knew very little other than what I had read, brief things that you read about each college sort of thing. I had no idea what I was getting into. All I knew is they offered one of the best TA ships in terms of the amount of money and the amount you got to teach. And it was interesting, I had only taught one semester in a college. I got credit for doing it. My original teacher wanted to go on pregnancy leave, and I got hired to do that after I had got my bachelor's. So I had that, and you have to have teaching experience before you come into this program as a teaching assistant. So that qualified me to get in. So I started teaching right away, four classes a semester in addition to my my degree requirements.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was they have their own unique program in terms of what they feel people need to take. And at that time, they basically didn't honor anybody's degree from anywhere. They made you take a lot of undergraduate courses from here. And so I paid for graduate credit and took undergraduate courses for 2 years. Basically, I was doing some graduate work at the same time, but a lot of because they felt that their courses were different than things that I had taken.
And was that true?
Some things were. They have a real strong emphasis on rhythm here, and I think that there's other ways to get at that. I think music classes would have been more helpful for me because movement-wise I had the rhythm, but what I couldn't do is read the notes and I couldn't play things with my own hands. And so I think it would have been faster to deal with the music end than just the body end because I already was very rhythmic. But that's the system they had set up. And I got out of the first level and did three other levels. And some things were just repeats to fill classes. This dance composition I had ended up doing twice before, essentially, and had to take it again. And that was Anna Nassif's course. So that was a real repetition of what I had. But it was not, I was not going to get out of it, no matter what I did. Yeah, some of it was very good. The fundamentals of movement class is basically what Wisconsin's about. And had I not been teaching, I probably wouldn't have realized how important that is. Because I came from a background of only 2 years of, 3 years of college modern dance. But before that, I had been in studio type jazz dance. And was still at a place that dance was either improv or it was steps, but I don't think I really had a real fundamental understanding. And when you start teaching and you start seeing what people can't do, things start gelling. Oh, I need to know more. I need to understand what underlies some of this. And Wisconsin is all about that because that's what March Dobler was about. And so I went back in, you know, I did the first fundamentals, and then second semester I think I just sat in on, because I was realizing that that was really going to be helpful for me in terms of teaching. And Buff Brennan teaches that, and everything I had with Buff was really very worthwhile. She very much carries on the Wisconsin tradition and has made it grow, too, because she's got into effort shape analysis, which is, it fits very well with what Wisconsin has been about. And it's like the new age thing for dance and movement, and follows right along with what Dobler did. Hmm. So, yeah, that was good stuff. But then there was a lot of composition requirements that I had already performed a lot. You know, things like that that I had to redo, dancing in people's reps and things like that that weren't as productive. We, in the time that I was in the program, there was a lot of residency still with companies, and that was excellent. We had Nikolai come for 5 weeks, and that was an incredible experience. We performed a piece that he did. He put a piece on several of us, and that was really neat. And he's just a really great man, and we learned a lot just having a lot of seminars with him and doing his technique, seeing his company, you know, seeing how they move. And again, he's into the fundamental basis of movement. He's into manipulating space-time force type ideas, and really against technique for technique's sake, which a lot of colleges have really gone for. A lot of professional dancers have gone for.
For technique's sake.
And Nikolai, as well as, you know, Dobler, the whole Dobler idea is not about that. You know, it's about really sensing where you're coming from, you know, understanding what you're doing and what kind of message your movement's giving, and finding the appropriate movement for the message you want to give. And just real different than out there for virtuosity. Mm-hmm. So he fit really well into the whole program. And we had guest artists. I think each year we had different people, so we got to see a lot of different techniques. So that was really good back then. When I was in the program for 5 years, I spent 2 doing a lot of coursework. Actually 3 doing coursework, and then another 2 working really hard on my master's and doing some more research coursework. Because I went off in biomechanics, and so I had to do a lot of extra work to understand the biomechanics in order to study dance through the biomechanics.
That's in some other physical education, I suppose?
Well, dance is in physical education.
I mean, the biomechanics is
right.
Not a dance program, of course.
No.
Yeah.
Right. But it was in Lathrop. Betty Roberts does that, and it was right in Lathrop, so it was handy, and I, you know, my lab was next to my office, and, you know, so it worked out well. But it really is a whole different, dancers, you'll find dancers will go in a number of different directions to do the research. You know, some will go historical, some will go sociological, some towards theater, some towards art. I went towards the sciences. So then you need to supplement your dance training and figure out what research methodologies and other things you can use then to study dance. So,
who was your advisor?
Buff Brennan.
And was she your major professor also then?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So you didn't have any difficulty turning to that to the scientific end of things? I mean, she didn't.
No, Buff is real supportive. She's always been interested in injuries and things like that. That's what I had hoped to do my master's on, was dance injuries in some way, but injuries are very, very hard to study. So, no, she was real supportive of that. And so what we did is I had Betty Roberts and Buff as my advisors for my thesis. Mm-hmm. So I worked side by side with them. So what other things would you like to know?
How much did you then have in the way of courses with the members of the faculty in the dance department? Anna Nassif, Lonnie Gordon.
I had everybody. I had at least a year, if not more, of Lonnie. I had performed for him. When I performed for him, it was a good experience. I enjoyed the piece. I had like 2 or 3 courses with Anna and performed for it for a semester. I was there. Claudia came, I think, after I was done with school, or maybe my last year. So I had Lonnie a lot for technique, and then our guest artist back then. And we had Madame Klistova for ballet. And I had a little bit of her. She was a real dynamite lady.
Was she on the faculty or mm-hmm. a visitor?
She was a lecturer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, she's now in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she was she was a Russian ballerina, so.
Yes, sounds
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had them all. Lonnie, to me, doesn't carry on the Wisconsin tradition at all. He's developed his own technique and has gotten real involved with lots of different arm positions, which, in my understanding of the Dover tradition, kind of really goes in a different direction. It's like, what's the point, in learning a lot of different things? And Lonnie just has difficulty. He's just not always stable. You never know if he was going to come in mad at us. He would always come in at least a half hour late to class. Things like that were difficult to deal with. I'm not sure where his head's at in terms of his choreography. And I wouldn't want to say, because everybody, a piece of choreography will give them a different message. But I'm not sure where Lonnie's head is at in terms of women. I don't think he has a really good or healthy view of women in his life. I mean, he's gay, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it's in terms of what he says in his choreography. And then some other people have danced a lot for him and have very, very good experiences, really enjoyed moving. So there's been both sides. I was still doing my master's when he was up for tenure, and I signed a petition along with a lot of other people that he did not get tenure. And he got it anyway, and he got it on his international reputation, which for a school like Madison looked great. But in terms of dealing with the students, we felt that wasn't right to give him tenure, that he just wasn't stable enough. Didn't fit in really with, in the long run, what the Wisconsin tradition was. So that was sad. But
did he know about the petition?
Yeah. Yeah, and that harmed a lot of people who had to work with him later. I was done, luckily, so I was okay. That was difficult. I was also here my last year in my master's. There was a committee reviewing the department, and I finally found out that people were coming in with degrees and having to redo courses like I did, and a lot of things are, nobody got out of here without 4 or 5 years for a master's, which is unheard of anywhere else. So things like that were being reviewed very seriously mm-hmm. when I left, and so some changes really happened. I mean, people find out about how Anna dealt with people. What happens with Anna is that she doesn't really organize her coursework in a logical fashion, so every other day you're asked to do another paper. It's that sort of thing. Well, I think you should write a 10-page paper in this, and the first summer the second summer I was here, I took a course, and of course I had a lot of family coming out that summer, and I got colitis over worrying about Anna, of trying to write a dissertation, essentially, because I didn't know at that point that you just said, no, I'm not going to do it. It's not reasonable. And that's what you had to do also in terms of performing with her. You just had to learn to say no. Got you in a lot of trouble, though, if you had to do a lot of courses after with her. So it was that kind of thing that made it really difficult. It was a lot of playing politics for the students. With just those two people, everyone else was great. And the reason I think things got off the track is because of the inbreeding. Anna got a degree here, Lonnie got one, Buff got one, Claudia got one. And the majority of your people can be great, like Buff and Claudia are wonderful. But what happens is politically you become stuck, because Buff went to school with Lonnie. What do you do? I mean, you just don't have the kind of fresh perspective and feel like, well, I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to say this. I'm going to, as you would if you didn't have all these history behind you together. So I think it made it very tough. And Buff often had to be chairman. And she's just not a real aggressive person, doesn't like a lot of conflict, and did the best she could, but it was just a really hard place to be. So that was too bad. When Claudia came on, things started getting a little better, because Claudia will speak up, you know, and say what's right. And I think she's been a real asset to the department since she came on.
Is she leaving? Do you know?
No, she has no plans to leave right now. Mm. So.
When the committee was looking at what the program and things that ought to be done, did they interview you or people like you?
Yes, I was interviewed on that, which is really nice after all the dramas I'd been through to be able to, you know, to let them know where the good parts were. You know, that people like Buff, who had a lot harder time getting tenure, who was the very best teacher in the program, had a horrible time getting tenure. That, you know, that was sad, but she got it, so, yeah. And she deserves it. But she was often chair, and when you're an excellent teacher, you don't have much time for research. And the problem is that the university doesn't understand dance, and that a dancer needs to be taking technique. They're expected to choreograph, they're expected to teach academic courses, and to do research. So they're expected, dancers everywhere in the academic situation are expected to do 10 times what other faculty are expected to do. Mm. Especially in the small schools where you really do, you can't specialize. You know, you have to do choreograph and teach academic courses and do research. So it's very unrealistic yet. Administrators don't understand yet what dancers do.
Is it different from music or art?
Yeah, I think basically, I don't know firsthand, but I think music is a much more accepted thing in that, like, music is in the schools, art is in the schools, but dance is not. So I think there's a much greater understanding of what musicians do and what artists do than what dancers do.
But, I mean, you think more is demanded of of dancers getting tenure than would be of musicians and artists?
Well, I think they don't have time to do what they have to do to get tenure. Mm-hmm. Because they have so many other things that they have to do. Mm. That's what I'm saying. They have more that they have to do that doesn't count in a school like this. Mm. Okay, so they don't have time to do a lot of heavy-duty research. Mm-hmm. Like Buff had to be chair, teach several academic classes, you know, and try to do research on top of that. There's no time. You know, and she was chair when she wasn't tenured. Things like that made it very, very hard. Mm-hmm. So I myself would love to see her come back and start up the program, because she's one of the people who I think really understands the Dobler idea and could carry it out. And she's been real active in the CODA, which is a group of chairmen of dance departments across the country. And she's in touch with all the originals, you know, people who started the departments, people who had Dobler and are just now retiring, and has a real feel for what that whole era was, and of not letting dance go to just being virtuosity and things like that. So it would be wonderful if she could then bring it back, you know, and hire her own faculty who she would know would do a good job and carry on that tradition. Because when you're the first dance department in the country, it's just horrible to see it disappear, and yet I think it's the only thing that can happen now. And when you have two tenured faculty that you need to have gone, what else can you do? So,
have you expressed this idea to anybody?
Oh, that's the idea.
I mean, about Buff Brennan.
Oh, that's the idea. I mean, there's plans. Oh. I mean, I haven't heard it from the top, but I've heard it through the grapevine. Yeah. You know, nobody ever has a bad thing to say about Buff. I mean, she's done nothing but a great job. So that would be really nice, because if you brought in someone else who didn't understand the Wisconsin tradition, it could never come back, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people who actually dance with Dobler are retiring now. So, you know, Buff is a great idea because she's still young enough that she's got several years to build it back again. So I think that's down the line, but it all depends on what happens. You know, now that it's closing down, who stays and who leaves and what they can do. You know, they've had a lot of trouble with hiring people like Judy Alter, who then sued the university when she didn't get tenure. And I think the university's real worried about that, understandably. Mm-hmm. They don't want any cases on their hands.
Was Ellen Moore here when you first started?
No, I only know Ellen Moore through the extension.
Oh.
You know, social situations and stuff.
So she'd already stopped teaching here.
Right.
You had majored in dance as an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. So how did the space and equipment and just the general feeling affect you in Lathrop? I mean, did you find it wanting, or did you like the...
Oh, Lathrop's a great place. It's an old building. There was 5 or 6 of us who taught modern dance as well as other elective classes up in the 4th floor. And sharing that huge, wonderful old office, I learned probably the majority of what I learned in graduate school from my colleagues. You know, as we shared ideas, what worked, what didn't work. We had a lot of... Wisconsin, somehow, despite all the problems, has always had really good people come through. You know, the students,
graduates.
Despite whatever's gone on here, the problems they've had, we've had a heck of a lot of excellent people, either performers or educators. And I know I learned just a tremendous amount from their teaching abilities. So that was great. And Lathrop just has a feel of a real homey place. You know, we had 5 matrons when I was there, and there was one for each floor, and they became part of your life. You know, they cleaned and gave out towels, and the building manager at Ledwidge became part of your life. It was just a real sense of family, and especially because there were certain areas that were very difficult, certain people were very difficult, I think you gravitated towards your colleagues and the majors and people who were normal people who you could just get grounded again and say, okay, this is what really matters. And it was fun because everything was in one building. You could just hang out in your leotards all day, and you know, it was really pleasant. It was hard. A lot of us taught in Henry Mall, so in the middle of winter you're always throwing on all your clothes over your leotards and running down to Henry Mall, which wasn't real convenient, but you know.
Was that because it was too crowded at Lathrop? Or?
Yeah. For elective classes, there wasn't room. But the floors are not great. I mean, we need more sprung floors so that they're more resilient. But overall, I think people were real happy. We wish we had our own theater, which there's plans to make, because that was hard in borrowing either theater people to do your lighting or to borrow theaters to go out and do stuff. It made it hard, and a lot of times we used the gym for our concerts, which was nicer because then we had our own place, but it was not ideal. I mean, to have people sit on bleachers isn't comfortable. But, you know, that to me wasn't a big issue. You know, it was a nice place to be in. Lots of nice studio space. Be nice to have another one, which they're going to put in.
So your students in your elective classes, you put on concerts, did you?
No, that was the concerts that I was
in as
a major. Mm-hmm. But no, once a year, we started a concert once a year for our elective students. And it was great because we had, and they still do this, every semester, anybody, there's like, God, there must be 50 classes, most of the time elective classes. There's just there's a lot left. Mm. They're down a lot now. They might have 25 or something. But so what we did is ballet, modern, jazz, ballroom, and folk. Anybody could put in that they wanted their students to perform. In some classes, like modern, they would create their own pieces. In jazz, often the teacher would create a class piece. Or if they had projects, they did theirs. In ballroom, we kept the idea of creativity even in ballroom and had the students come up with a little piece to do, you know, at the end of the semester, and they could do it as groups. So sometimes we had these crazy, you know, 8 people cha-chas that were just really humorous, you know, really fun. And anybody who wanted to do it could perform. And mostly their friends came so that they were dancing to a non-dance audience. And it gave them a real sense of what it was like to be a dancer and to share what they had learned. And so that was a really neat thing we started while I was there. I was one of the ones that got that going. And that's been continued. I think our elective program has been one of the best things that could be in the department because it gave the grad students a place to share their knowledge and to grow. Because until you teach something, you don't know it, you know. And we also fed the department with students, because we would get people psyched about dancing, and then they would decide to be majors. And as time has gone on, that they have not put enough, to me, emphasis in elective program. And as that has gotten smaller, they have gotten less majors. And also, as they have not put the emphasis into the quality of the teaching has to be there. When I was there, somehow we ended up with people who were dynamite teachers. And if we didn't know much, I was green when I came in. If we didn't know much, we learned from our colleagues, and we worked our butts off. And now a lot of times people were being put into ballroom where they didn't know anything about ballroom, never seen it before, and were not into, you know, like hiring me or giving me time to train them. And because I cared so much that ballroom was taught well, I would just train them on my own time. So a lot of that's been going on lately, where before there was much more of a networking and you had to have somebody who knew how to teach, you know, before you'd put them in the program.
Well, who's responsible for deciding who's going to teach these classes and how many there'll be?
Well, the chairman always has been. Julia Brown, who runs the PE elective program, mm-hmm. She did it for a long time, and she's really into having people know what they're doing when they come in. And she ran it when I first got here and did a great job, and then it switched back and forth. And most of the time in the last several years, it's been the dance program. And when Buff runs it, it runs very well. But in the last couple years, Dean Ayer has been the chairman. And that's when the quality has gone down. It's more like being run like a business rather than, you know, really caring for what the students learn and the quality. Mm. It's just been a whole different perspective. That's why the lectures were an excellent addition to the elective program. Because there were several of us who had taught for years and could train the new people coming on. And we could be people that they could come and see our classes, that they could take our class simultaneously to teaching so that they could learn. And then it was decided that grad students were going to be the only teachers and they weren't going to have any lectures. And then without any preparation to make the changes in terms of how you were going to prepare the TAs, it was just gone. So, and that was a business decision. That was a, you know, we want more money. We want all our money going to the grad students. We want all the positions available for grad students. But the interesting part is the lectures were on soft funds, which is different than TA funds. So I'm not sure how much that helped them in the long run.
Why don't you get soft funding for lectureships?
It's a matter of somebody's on sabbatical or this or that or the other thing. That's what soft funding is, so that you don't know if your position's there from one semester to the next.
Well, didn't anybody in the department, on the faculty, complain about this or point out that it was going to weaken the elective program?
No, nobody really cares. No, I don't think anyone really had that much. What they wanted to save themselves, and I don't think they saw the elective program as being important enough to save the department, so that everything was put into the department, which after they had already canned the therapy program and lost most of their students, not a lot could be done. You know, people are not going to come to Wisconsin for choreography. You know, you're going to go to New York, you're going to go to LA, or you're going to go somewhere where it's really happening. You know, and word has also gotten around that you see who you study with for choreography is Lonnie or Anna.
Yeah. Okay. Were you here when the dance therapy program was discontinued?
Yes.
Did you know anything about it at the time?
Yeah, it was really sad. Part of the problem was, because this university doesn't care about teaching and all they care about is research, everybody they brought in for a dance therapy teacher had a hard time making tenure because they gave so much of themselves to teaching and to doing therapy type things that they just couldn't get enough published. And so part of the idea was, because in order to stay a department they had to have enough tenured faculty, that was, well, if we can't get somebody who can make it, let's can that program and work on the areas where we can get tenured faculty. You know, it's easier to get somebody in history to come in or in education to make it in this research-oriented school than it is to get somebody in therapy who, you know, spends their every waking minute working towards a whole different ballgame than doing research. That was a big part of it, I think. I'm sure there was a lot of things that I spent a lot of time at faculty meetings, both as a grad student and then as a lecturer, with the big faculty, PE and dance. So I have a fairly good understanding of what went on, but I'm sure there's a million things that I didn't understand politically why things happened. But I really feel that, in being around 11 years, that the main thing with the therapy was it was a threat. That Lonnie and Anna saw it as a threat to their choreography program, and I think they thought if it wasn't there, they would have more people in their program. And if you know anything about therapy people, they aren't going to go to performance. Mm. You know, they have a different interest. So in their education people, they always complain that the educators weren't technique oriented enough, and which you don't need to be. You know, that's not what it's about. You're not going to go out there and compete with New York virtuosity, you know. So it was sad to see that go. It was a really wonderful program, and the people in it were really neat people.
Was Judy Alter in that program?
No. Judy Alter was really interesting case. She did her research in philosophy, but when she got here, she got into this dance injuries area. But in a school like Wisconsin, you can't write books about things that are, books don't count anyway. And she wasn't doing enough hardcore research. In the sciences, books don't count for anything because they're not refereed. And then what she was doing also is just pulling in ideas from doctors, from lots of things that people had written, articles and stuff, and developing her own theory. But it was not scientifically proven. She was not doing real research. And that's why she didn't get tenure. But she sued, and I think she went on the thing that she was a woman and she was Jewish also. So it got really messy, and somehow I believe she won her case. But I knew her, I took courses from her. She was a very brilliant woman. Just had some problems with security, her own security, which got in the way. And she really wasn't following what Wisconsin wants in terms of research. I think a lot of her ideas were good. Now that I'm doing yoga, I'm seeing that some of what she had come up with, she pulled in from everywhere, is yoga ideas. Although what she did is she limited the body. You know, she was saying, "Don't never do this, and never do this, and never do this." And the whole Eastern concept is, don't limit your body to anything, but learn how to do everything healthily. And it may take you the rest of your life to be able to do a backbend again because you've already gotten so out of balance. But slowly learn to balance again and be able to use your body in all its range of motion. And Judy was kind of doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. So. Which was good, you know, for aerobic teachers and stuff who had no background and wouldn't be able to tell someone how to correct something. Yeah, it's probably better that they never do back arches, never do this or that in a class situation. So her work has a lot of value, and you know, I think a lot of it's very good and has been very helpful for people. But she's now out in California teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you got your M.A.
I got my M.S.
M.S. And then you decided to go ahead for a Ph.D.
Well, I worked for 5 years first. And have found through the grapevine from my colleagues who have been out teaching around the country that administrators are not, even in places that research is not important, are not giving any sort of security or tenure without a Ph.D. Mm-hmm. So that's why I chose to go back. Under the gun.
Mm-hmm. and still with Buff Brennan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the only one there for me. Anna, Tibor, and Lonnie all have Master of Fine Arts. So they don't have anything to offer me who's into more scientific research.
Did you have any courses, Ph.D. courses with them, or did you have to?
No, none of them teach any Ph.D. courses. Buff does them all. I had one, in my PhD, I've only had one-week course in dance. Because I had done the whole department in my master's. Yeah. Since they made me start over again, I had done it all. And because my emphasis in my PhD is biology of aging. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did, coursework in that area. Which is really nice that the PhD program allows you then to specialize outside of dance. When you've had so many years of dance training, it lets you then zero in on other areas. Mm-hmm. And Buff is very wonderful about letting you explore other areas. And in her dealing with each one of her grad students has come up with totally different areas of research. So she is very often co-advised with other people. Like right now, she has a sociological study going, just finished an ethnographic study. With mine, she did biomechanics. I mean, she just has been in every area, which is very, very hard. Most people on this campus, they deal with their tiny little area with their grad students. And Buff has to just, sit back and give as much advice as she can and connect people in the right direction to find who they need for their work. She's very good at. So.
I know you because of you've been teaching and leading, in fact, the teaching of the exercise class for this, the osteoporosis study for a number
Seven
of years.
Years.
That had nothing to do, I mean, your training in dance helped you in this, but this job is not fed back into that at all, would you say?
No. No, in fact, I have to... it's hard, like at conferences and stuff, because we teach what we call endurance dance, which is a variation on aerobic dance that we think is more healthy, that Katie and Cindy and I have developed. And I have to argue with my colleagues to even recognize that dance for exercise is a valuable thing and something that dancers should get involved in, because I think dancers can do the best job at it. But they aren't interested. It's not the art form, and so that's it. But my training at Wisconsin, because it has such a strong science background, I mean, you had to have anatomy and physiology as an undergrad, complete courses in the anatomy and physiology department, and kinesiology. And then I went on to advanced kines, and since then I've gone on to another anatomy and physiology course. That is a real solid grounding to get you out there and teach a very good course, whether dance is for the art form or dance is for exercise. And I think the Wisconsin program is great for that. And a lot of dancers really have a fit about going through those courses. But in the end, I think they all see the worth of doing that. And I had wished that exercise physiology had been part of that. Because if they don't know exercise physiology, it's hard to get, you don't understand about target heart rate and things like that. But our program was so chock full of academic stuff that there was no room for it. Very strong academic program here. Curriculum is actually good if some of the courses were revamped a little and if the people teaching them were doing what they were supposed to do. The curriculum itself, I think, is really solid.
Well, are there many doing? You said they weren't doing what you've
no.
done.
No. Cindy got her PhD ensign, also from Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and both of us have been in this program for years. And there's a few other people out there doing it. And we've given national lectures at national conferences about the value of the dancer, getting into other areas of dance, of spreading our knowledge rather than just poo-pooing what's going on in the community, but to get out there and help train people. How do you choreograph interesting things? How do you make a class interesting? That's stuff that our training here really was helpful for. 4 semesters of rhythm and learning how to improvise and fool around with things and see the basics of movement. You can go in any kind of movement, and do really well. So most people haven't gone that route, but Mary Elliott is somebody that you probably should talk to. She got her degree here with Dobler. She was another Dobler person, and she teaches PE in the schools for children and apparently really carries on the Dobler idea. With even through PE, she puts in a lot of what they used to call move and ed. I guess that's a bad term now.
Say it again.
Move and education. It used to be the lingo in the PE field, if you're going to do something creative instead of just teaching them sports or whatever, yeah. It was movement education. Movement education.
Oh, movement education, okay.
And now I don't know what they call it, but she's been wonderful in that.
So you feel that you've been affected, well, you said, by the Dover tradition?
Yeah, even though I didn't know it. I mean, I think it underlies a lot of what happened there. Through Cindy. Cindy had been taught by people who had been taught by Dover. I had a number of classes with Cindy Ensign before we started working together. And through Buff Brennan, through Claudia to some extent. Through even people like Betty Roberts of sharing with what Dobler was like. Betty was a PE person and had courses with Dobler and has shared with us the joy that she made out of a simple motion that she would get people to concentrate. And it's the Eastern idea of being mindful is essentially what she was doing. And how she got these people who felt like klutzes to feel graceful. That's Betty's big thing. It's just she feels like a klutz normally, and Dobler could make her feel graceful. Mm. You know, I would love to have known that. And because I finished and then stayed here, I've socialized with a lot of these people, you know, like gone to the alumni breakfasts and this and that, and got a sense of what the old place was like, what the women's, when it was just women. And I got a real sense when we combined with men, everything went down the drain in terms of keeping that sense. Mm-hmm. Because the men were then not interested in having all these dance and rhythm courses in the program, and now our PE majors go out with not understanding anything about movement, which is a shame. But you know, Ruth Glasso was, you know, went through that time, and I've heard her speak, you know, so I've been really lucky to just catch the tail end, you know, of a tradition that was really, really special, but never experienced it myself. Firsthand.
Louise Klepper had left by the time you came.
She did, and she's one person I really don't know much about. I see her at social gatherings and stuff, but I don't know much about Louise. Cindy does.
Hmm.
So, yeah, Cindy did her master's and then left and came back and did her PhD, taught for a while. And she knows some of the older, she had Louise and Mary Fee. She did her research under Mary Fee.
Hmm.
So that's somebody else you may want to interview. It's further back history.
Yeah.
I only go 11 years.
That's quite a long time, though.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I was saying that a lot of my master's was not a good experience for me because, well, I wasn't real confident in myself, and you have a lot of competition in dance, for one. And I take life too seriously, so somebody like Anna really rattled me. You know, I couldn't understand why I was paying to have somebody teach me who I didn't feel was offering me anything. So that was very difficult for me. I was newly married, and all my time, I mean, I was teaching, taking technique, taking academic courses, you know, and performing all at the same time. So a lot of my master's was a very hard thing. And I think it's been nice talking to you because I'm remembering more of the good things. You know, by the time I got done, I was exhausted. After 5 years of doing all that, I had it. I said I'd never go back to school again. You know, I had no interest in ever being around. And I think as the years have gone by, I've been able to put aside more of the bitter feelings I had, which were just a few people that made life miserable for me, and remember what the good parts were, which I'm real glad to do. You know, but it's hard. I mean, I think I've learned through all my traumas in life not to take everything so seriously. If I went back now, I think I'd just sort of laugh off a lot of what Anna would try to make you do. Too bad, you know, I'm not doing it. But being the conscientious soul I was, it was like, she said, do a paper. I thought I had to do the paper. She said, you come up with five, you know, pieces of choreography by tomorrow. I would go nuts trying to do it. And, you know, that was dumb. I mean, now, but as a student, you don't know what you can do. Mm. You know, now I'm a lot older. I wouldn't take the same things.
Was the grading fair?
I mean, I've heard a lot of times where people really were not graded fairly. That especially with Lonnie, if he didn't like someone, things were not good. With Anna, somehow Anna came to understand where I was at with her and that she wasn't going to push me around. And I can't say I ever was graded poorly by Anna. You know, I mean, we came to have a mutual respect for each other where she knew she better back off and you know, I knew what to do with her. But some other people who didn't have the same type of personality as I did really left rather an emotional mess when they left here. I mean, it was just so hard to get through the degree because of all the political playing. And people like Buff who don't like to be aggressive and to cause commotion would have to, as chair, she, you know, this were on the books, she just, well, you've got to take from Anna. You know, you can't get around this. Where I think if somebody came in from another school, you know, who didn't have the ties, might have been more willing to say, yeah, you don't need this. You don't need to go through that, you know, depending on which direction you were going. So that was a shame. I saw a lot of people have a hard time.
Has she changed in the time you've known her?
She's lost a lot of power since I was on that, when I was interviewed at the end of my degree, when they first looked at some of the things that were not right in the dance department. She lost a lot of power, which was made it easier for a while. And I should add that a lot of people really did have, some people really had a good experience. I wouldn't say a lot, but there were some people who really enjoyed dancing for, got a lot of performance experience, and were right there for. It was their personalities were such that they could deal with Anna, and they wanted to perform bad enough, and it didn't feel bad to their bodies, which to me it felt horrible, were able to do it. And there's some people who like her choreography. And again, that's not a lot, but there are some people who really think that there's value in her choreography. So it's a, you know, it's a matter of opinion. For every good, there's somebody, you know, for every bad, somebody thinks the opposite. Mm. So that's about it.
Have you decided what you're going to do your PhD in? I'm asking that.
No, I have, my main interest for years has been dance injuries, which is why working in this study has been so interesting to me, because working with middle-aged women versus college kids, you learn real quickly about injuries, you know, much more so, because college kids don't get injured very easily. And working with middle-aged and older adults, you have to really understand the body, and the only way you understand is by observing and seeing how people differ. So I would have loved to have done something on injuries, but since I'm moving to Kentucky, I have to find something I can do. My other interests are education, and since I've been into biology of aging and teaching older adults, one of my interests is to look at the idea of how do people learn, how can we facilitate older adults learning movement? Because we look all the time at how we can help the adult learn cognitively. And you know, the whole CAVE program here is about that. But we don't look at movement. And so that's one of my ideas. Another is to do an ethnographic study of like clogging or big circle dances, because that's something in Kentucky would help me understand who they are, what they are. But my training is scientific and not ethnographic, so it'd be totally changing gears, which I'm not real excited about. But, you know, I feel like I'm prepared to do a lot of different things, and we'll find a way to do that. This is a research school, so I'm working in this study. I've learned so much about research. I mean, I know what I'm up against.
Yeah.
And I know who to go to learn what I need. So there certainly is the facilities here and the people here to help you in whichever direction you want to go. So I'll be driving a lot from Kentucky.
But how did you happen to get into the ballroom dancing? Was that a mini course or is that extension?
No, elective class.
The ballroom dancing was elective.
Yeah. Oh, we had as many in our heyday, which was a couple years ago, we had as many as 13 ballroom dance classes in the dance program with 40 to 50 students in each. And I started the Ballroom 2 class years ago with my now husband, Mark.
Yeah.
And, God, we must have started that 8 years ago. And we put the course proposal through, got it going. And then I started a club so that we could have dances in Great Hall. And now our club has a lot of money in it, and we've been able to do really nice things like send a student who's going to be taking over all the mini course and extension course, we're sending him to Brigham Young University for a week to learn about more about ballroom. And so the club has been a really wonderful thing. So the students every semester have had two dances on campus that they can go to, and they're required to go to for their credit. So they, you know, because we know once they get out, they're hooked. You know, if they never go out, they never know what they're doing. So, and then Mark and I also put a course proposal through on teaching ballroom dance so that we taught it for majors and anyone else who was interested and in how to teach ballroom, because that's the major weakness in this program, is that there was no course on how to teach social and folk forms of dance. And anywhere you go, you've got to teach them. You know, in any school in the country, you end up teaching this, the folk forms and social forms.
And you got paid for this, and Mark did too.
This was part of my TA ship when I was here. Then I did as a lecturer, and he was a student in history of science. And when I was pregnant, he taught as a lecturer, and we split a position.
This was from your first husband. We might as well.
Right.
Right.
And then when we taught the teaching course, the majors program, we split a 10% position. We each got 5% to do it. And he's taught several times in and out as a lecturer. See, they could do that then. Well, actually, he was a TA. I don't know how they hired him. But anyway.
But these were students. They're not all ages.
We also have taught extension for Mark's taught. I started 9 years ago teaching extension, and I only taught a year, and I prefer not to teach at night. And so when I was married before, it just didn't work. I had such long days. So Mark took it then and taught it for 5 or 6 years with someone else, and now we've been teaching together the last 3 years. And the extension is, you know, non-credit, but it's 12 weeks in the semester. It's not like a mini course.
But you get a lot of students?
Yeah. No, we don't get many students. We get mostly adults.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
People enrolling in your course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always full. Yeah, but the exciting part to us was having the college kids, so having that many people learn ballroom. I mean, figure 12 times 50, that's a lot of people each semester. Yeah. And that's why the club went so well, because you'd see the same people, they'd watch for our dances every semester, and you'd have people coming back that I taught 6 years before. You know, that, you know, a lot of grad students are around forever, so, you know, you see these reoccurring people just coming and hanging out, and just a great, and people don't drink when they dance, ballroom dance. It's just such a really nice activity, and I think that was so neat about the elective program, that it did offer students a lifetime activity. And the business professors were sending students over to take our ballroom classes because they realized that was an excellent social skill to have. And we had a lot of engineering students in our modern, way back when I taught modern, a lot of math and engineering, because they just realized they needed a creative outlet. You know, so you had students from all walks, and a lot of grads and seniors, because they were so popular, they filled up the first week and, you know, first day, and the freshmen never got in. You know, so that was too bad, but it's not supply and demand around here. You don't get more money for classes if you have more demand. Too bad. We could have had twice as many classes, I think, back then. So that's why, you know, I'm so into the lecture program, because I worked in it so long and just saw so many people go away with, you know, just a real joy of moving. And that's what I want to do with my life. I want to continue to teach non-dancers. I don't want to teach people who are already opinionated about which dance is right and how to do it, and competition amongst themselves. And, you know, that's into sharing with those people who may not have gotten it otherwise, and will go away feeling good about that. You know, instead of feeling like klutzes and they could never do it and that sort of thing.
Well, I must say, it sounds as if the dance department hadn't ruined you.
No, no. No, there was many good things came out of that.
Well, thanks very much
Sure.
for doing this.